I'm Anthony Pastore, and this is the Global Edition of Top of the Morning. For the Global Edition of Top of the Morning, we take a look at broader news from around the world. Today, the head spinning caused by U.S.-China trade talks, currencies, and most specifically the pound sterling, opportunities in gene therapy, and a look at what's coming up next week. Today's guest, back with me, is Chris Swan, cross-asset strategist for the UBS Chief Investment Office. Today is Friday, December 6th, 2019. Chris, thanks for, very much for joining me. It's great to have you back.
Yeah, great to be back too. Thank you.
Yeah, so Chris, it seems like the biggest headline of any story that we've spoken about on this particular podcast and others is U.S.-China trade talks. The excitement never really dies down, and this week was no exception. Talks continued to twist and turn. There was news that perhaps the Trump administration would not really do anything with reconciling with tariffs until after the election. Then there were news items that came out that said that that wasn't the case. So a lot of our heads were spinning. So I guess the question to you then is, what comes next and how can investors actually deal with all of this uncertainty?
Yeah, it does feel a bit like they're trying to draw out the suspense in a rather televisual way, doesn't it? Our view of the trade talks is that the Trump administration has a pretty powerful incentive to get some kind of deal done and not much incentive to escalate. So obviously next week we've got that December the 15th deadline where they're due to put up tariffs on Chinese imports on about $160 billion worth of Chinese imports. Our view is still that that doesn't go ahead, although they're leaving it a little close to the wire, and that we either get some kind of deal, some phase one deal, probably it's looking more like early next year rather than late this year, but it's a very opaque process. The bottom line, however, is that even if we get a really reasonable phase one deal, we don't really see the trade uncertainty going away. And that was underlined over the past week as well by the fact that the Trump administration reimposed steel and aluminum tariffs on Brazil and Argentina. So it's a little opaque. So basically, given that, what do investors do to your question? Well, the first thing they can do is to look geographically towards markets that are less exposed towards trade uncertainty. So those are markets where more of the demand is domestic. And in this regard, just a sort of quick look at how much GDP is driven by profit is driven by internal domestic revenues. And that's 69% for the US and about 88% from China. And then if you contrast that with the Eurozone, where it's 47%, it's fairly clear where you might want to be if you're worried about trade and where you might not want to be. And then the other aspect is sectoral. So you're getting a very weak business investment, but continued strength in the consumer sector. Again, we had those very encouraging jobs figures that just came out a few hours ago as we're recording now. You can play that on a sectoral level if you're concerned about trade uncertainty, with a preference for consumer discretionary over materials and IT in the US and globally.
Thank you, Chris. I wanted to jump a little bit off topic from China and U.S. trade talks and talk about currencies. And something interesting that we've seen is that the British pound has climbed to its highest level this past week since May of this year against the U.S. dollar. Will this trend continue?
Well, we have another twist in the U.K. political story coming up at the end of next week, with an election on the 12th of December. And probably the reason we're seeing sterling doing so well is that recent polls have indicated a pretty healthy conservative majority. That being the case, that would if indeed there is a conservative government returned with a majority, because of course at the moment they lack a majority, Then Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister, could push through his Brexit deal. It wouldn't, of course, end all of the uncertainty, but it would at least give a degree of respite for currency markets. So we see the risks for sterling as slightly asymmetric. So the polls do indeed point to a conservative majority. But even in the event that we see a hung parliament and potentially a Labour government being formed, which would sort of be very sort of to the left in terms of its policy agenda, and also in terms of Labour Party has promised another EU referendum, which is obviously creating a degree of uncertainty. Even in that slightly slightly less favourable scenario for sterling, we still believe it's undervalued. So we would see the downside as being relatively limited. So maybe to sort of 125 to 130 range until you get more clarity. Whereas if indeed these polls are confirmed and we see a conservative victory with a majority, we would expect the pound to rise to around 135. So, the currency looks pretty attractive to us.
And something else that we're noticing is that there's a little bit more activity within the gene therapy space. Tell us a little bit more about that. And also, what's the CIO's view of this sub-industry of healthcare?
Yeah, it's a fascinating sector. We had some news a few weeks ago that you probably remember talking about a new sort of gene editing technique called prime editing, which is sort of which some estimates suggest could correct nearly 90% of genetic diseases. And that's building on the current sort of CRISPR technology. But the news from this week is another deal in the pharma space with Japan's Astellas Pharma acquiring Audentes Therapeutics, which is a gene therapy firm, in a $3 billion transaction. So we've now seen roughly $41 billion worth of deals of large cap pharma buying some of these smaller firms. And again, it just suggests that this is going to be a growing area of considerable growth. In terms of how investors play it, as with any sort of pioneering drug discovery, potential failure rates are going to be quite high. So it really, really has to be a diversified approach, given those idiosyncratic risks in terms of drug development.
Excellent. Thank you, Chris. And as we're wrapping up, we always like to get a sense from you of what you're going to be looking out for in the week ahead. We're clearly getting closer and closer to the holiday, so things will eventually start to slow down, but not quite just yet. So what do you have on tap for next week?
Yeah, we have some year-end drama. Two bits of year-end drama that I've kind of alluded to. One is the UK election. That'll be on the 12th, so we'll get the results over here in Europe on the early on the 13th. Quite a lot is riding on that as far as sterling is concerned, as I mentioned. And then, of course, another thing that I alluded to very briefly was the 15th of December deadline on US additional tariffs. If those were to go through, which is not our expectation, obviously that would be quite damaging for market sentiment. If we get signs that a deal has been done, even if we don't get details, that would be extremely good for sentiment. And of course, we could just see a postponement. So there's quite a range of options there. And then the big set piece event of the week in terms of policy will be the FOMC meeting. The data has been kind of mixed recently. We had a rather disappointing ISM survey, which is forward-looking. But on the other hand, as I mentioned, we had very good jobs data. So the expectation is that the Fed will continue to indicate that policy is on hold. But as always, the attention will be on the forward guidance in the summary of economic projections and the dot plot, which indicates where the Fed members see rates going in over the coming year and years.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot that's coming up before we get actually to the crux of the holiday season. So, Chris, thank you very much for catching us up, and we really appreciate everything that you provided for us today. Chris Swan from the Chief Investment Office, Cross Asset Strategist. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
And if you're a client of UBS and you're in the United States, we always recommend that you reach out to your UBS financial advisor. And of course, for our clients outside of the US and Europe, Asia Pacific, and Latin America, please speak to your UBS client advisor. From the UBS studios here in New York City, I'm Anthony Pastore. Thanks again to Chris Swan. Have a great day, everybody. We'll speak with you soon. UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.